The Tongue-Cut Sparrow. Once upon a time, there was an old man who lived all alone, and there was an old woman who lived all alone. The old man was merry and kind and gentle, with a good word and smile for all the world. The old woman was sour and sad, as cross a patch as could be found in all the countryside. She grumbled and growled forever, and would not so much as pass the time of day with respectable folk. The old man had a pet sparrow that he kept as the apple of his eye. The sparrow could talk, sing, and dance, and do all manner of tricks, and was very good company. So the old man found, when he came home from his work at night, there would be the sparrow twittering on the doorstep, and, "Welcome home, master," he would say, his head on one side, as pert and pretty as you please. One day, the old man went off to cut wood in the mountains. The old woman, she stayed at home, for it was her washing day. She made some good starch in a bowl, and she put it outside her door to cool. "It will be all ready when I want it," she said to herself. But that's just where she made a mistake. The little sparrow flew over the bamboo fence and lighted on the edge of the starch bowl. And he pecked at the starch with his little beak. He pecked and he pecked till all the starch was gone. And a good meal he made, to be sure. Then out came the old woman for the starch to starch her clothes. You may believe she was angry. She cocked the little sparrow roughly in her hand, and it lay on a leg. She took a sharp scissors and cut his little tongue. Then she let him go. Away and away flew the little sparrow over here and over there. "And a good riddance too," said the cruel old woman. When the old man came home from the mountains, he found his pet sparrow gone. And before long he knew all the tale. He lost no time. The good old man, he set out once on foot, calling, "Sparrow, sparrow, where are you, my tongue-cut sparrow?" Over hill and over the dale he went, calling, "Sparrow, sparrow, where are you, my tongue-cut sparrow?" At last and at length he came to the sparrow's house, and the sparrow flew out to greet his master. Then there was a twittering, to be sure. The sparrow called his brother and sister and his children and his wife and his mother-in-law and his mother and his grandmother. And they all flew out to the old man's hut. They brought him into the house and they set him down upon mats of silk. Then they spread the great feast. At rice and bacon and fish and who know what all besides, and the very best sake to drink. The sparrow waited upon the good old man and his brother and sister and his children and his wife and his mother-in-law and his mother and his grandmother with him. After supper the sparrow danced while his grandmother played the Samson, and the good old man beat time. It was a merry evening. "At last, all good things come to an end," says the old man. "I feel this late and high time I was getting home, not without a little presence. says the sparrow. "Ah, sparrow dears," says the old man, "it sooner have yourself than any presents." But the sparrow shook his head. Presently, they broke into a wicker basket. "One of them is heavy," says the sparrow, "and the other is light. So, master, will you take the heavy basket or the light? I'm not so young as I was," says the good old man, "thanking you kindly, I'd sooner have the light basket. It will suit me better to carry. That is, if it's the same to you," he says. So he went home with the light basket. When he opened it, wonderful to tell, it was full of gold and silver and tortoise shell and coral and jade and fine rods of silk. So the good old man was rich for life. Now, when the bad old woman heard tell of all this, she tied on her sandals and killed her skirt and took a stout stick in her hand. Over here and over there she went and took the straight route to the sparrow's house. There was the sparrow, and there were his brother and sister and children and his wife and his mother and his mother-in-law and his grandmother. They were not too pleased to see the bad old woman, but they couldn't do less than ask her in as she'd come so far. They gave her red rice and white rice and bacon and fish and who know what beside, and she gobbled it up in a twinkling and drank a good cup of sake. Then up she got. "I can't waste any more time here," she says. "So you'd best bring out your presents." They broke into wicker basket. "One of them is heavy," says the sparrow, "and the other is light," say mistress. "Will you take the heavy basket or the light?" "I will take the heavy one," says the old woman, quick as a thought. So she held it up on her back, and off she set. Sure enough, it was as heavy as lead. When she was gone, "Lord, how the sparrow did luck!" No sooner did she reach home than she undid the cords of the basket. "No, for the gold and silver," she said, and smiled. Too, she hadn't smiled for 12 months, and she lifted up the lid. "Ay, ay, kwai, obake da, obake," she screeched. The basket was full of ugly imps and elves and pixies and demons and devils. All they come to tease the old woman, to pull her and to poke her, to push her and to pinch her. She had the fine fright of her life. "I will run you,"